our role has changed from being the technical sales and support to becoming hunters.
The whole dynamic and how you talk to your customers, right? Or talk to engineers or reach out to engineers has just changed, right?
We created a system where we create GPTs. It will return a list of engineering and purchasing contacts.
Yeah.
And specifically, I've coded it for certain types of engineers.
It's really, really clever how it's like a drip campaign you're doing, but with a target on it. So I really love it.
When we do get in front of a customer, it's a great lead behind piece.
Yeah.
I have literally dozens of them for principals and different product lines. So I can cater it to what a customer really wants. And then using the AI tools, we've already identified what would be a good fit.
Yeah.
So I don't have to sit down in front of the guy who right now it's hard to get in front of people, whether it's an engineer. And I don't have to say, well, do you use LEDs or do you use switches?
Right.
And then, you know, they're like going,
yeah.
Oh my God,
you didn't
get me
time.
Out of here.
Some roles change quietly. Others are forced to change because the environment around them does. And for manufacturing reps, access is more limited, expectations are higher, and the old playbook does not work the way it used to. Welcome to Leadership Manufacturing Podcast. I'm your host, Sanna Vinding. I'm an engineer and go-to-market leader, focusing on how leaders operate when complexity is high and the answers are not obvious. This show is for leaders across manufacturing, distribution, and also the manufacturing's rep community. It's about practical leadership in a technical environment. No hype, no theory, just about what actually works. This is the part one of two-part conversation, and my guest is Tom Walker. He's the co-founder and VP of Spectrum Components, one of Southern California's top electronic component rep firms. In this episode, we focus on how manufacturing's rep role has changed. We talk about navigating limited access, shifting expectations, and how smarter workflows and AI are helping reps identify target accounts, find the right contacts, and support principal much more effectively. So let's get into part one. You're listening to Leadership Manufacturing Podcast, and I'm really glad you actually tuned in today, because today's conversation is about what it actually takes to operate as a modern manufacturing rep. And we're going to touch on how you're navigating when you have limited access, you know, the changing of expectation, using AI, and also smarter workflows to identify the right target accounts, find the right contact, and also support the principals in more effective ways. So my guest today is Tom Walker. He is the co-founder and vice president of Spectrum Components, and he has a lot of real-world experience to this conversation. So welcome, Tom.
Hi, Santa. How are you today?
I am good. I'm excited. Yeah, you can see I already have my passion going on here, right? Because this is my zone. No. So I always ask first, right? What's your passion about the industry?
That's a great question. And for me, I started doing this about 35 years ago. I answered an ad in the newspaper for industrial sales. It was a very different world back then in terms of selling, in terms of what we were doing. And unbeknownst to me, I fell in love with it. I love it today as much as I did when I first started. And so what really makes it fun is I have the opportunity to go in to companies, see what they're doing. They kind of pull back the Wizard of Oz curtain and let me see what's happening. And that gets me very excited to be able to be a part of that, to help engineers and companies find solutions. Working with distributors to help them get their products booked and sold. And then also, it gives me a great opportunity to give back to the industry. I'm fortunate enough to be on the board of directors for the Southern California ERA. And that allows me to give back to the industry and come up with ideas, suggestions on how we can help people in the rep industry that have maybe are new or have older rep companies and they need to find new ideas. So that's my passion. I love doing it today as much or more than when I started 35 years ago.
Yeah, oh, I love that. I think it's also how, you know, you learn so much, right? And to see what you worked on as well or part of, right? And then seeing it out in the wild. That excites me. So I'm totally on your side here. So let's talk about what have changed, right? Because we had over the last couple of years. So what, being a rep, what have changed over the last 5 years?
It's a lot. Used to be where you could get in your car, go up to a company, the front doors were unlocked. You could walk in the lobby. There was a receptionist there. And they had a little book of visitors that have come and gone over the past whatever month, week, and you could talk to someone. Many times you're going in to just leave some information for their engineering team. And the receptionist was a key person because she could help navigate that for you. That was a day when we probably still used maps a little bit, mostly getting into GPS in our cars. Yeah. But it was a lot easier to gain access.
Yeah.
And now the dynamics have changed where in Southern California, very few people actually have a door that is open.
Yeah.
If it is, there's no receptionist.
Yeah.
There may be a phone, probably isn't. And now you're locked into a room that you have no one to talk to.
Yeah.
So as a manufacturer's representative, our role has changed. From being the technical sales and support to becoming hunters.
Yeah.
And we become more of a marketing company and a hunter for finding new business.
Yeah.
Keeping track of engineers. During COVID, we saw engineers move out of the area. And I may be working on a project with an engineer in Idaho, who still, his business card says he's in Los Angeles and he comes here and he does all his design work, but he works at home.
Yeah.
So the dynamics have changed dramatically. We become more data centric where we are a little bit more of a data broker, I would say.
Yeah.
And that controlling that data is what really helps our principals. And then we've taken on the marketing function for a lot of our principals.
Yeah.
Where either they don't really have a marketing group, or they don't have a marketing group that's focused on what the rep can do. It's to focus on creating collaterals content for their company.
Yeah.
So we have to get very creative in terms of being a technical marketing company. That's kind of a roundabout way.
Yeah. No, it's a good, right? I think it has the whole dynamic and how you talk to your customers, right? Or talk to engineers or reach out to engineers has just changed, right? And it's just the behavior as well, right? It's everything has just changed that way. But you've done something about it, right? You're starting to use AI and tools and everything else. So can you lift the lid here a little bit of how that have changed you and how you're addressing this?
I would love to. We started out at the ERA conference held every year in Austin. A few years ago, AI started to creep into that. And for the last couple of years, if you had AI tied to your name, you were pretty much golden. Everybody thought, oh, they've got AI, whatever that means. And it's this kind of pie in the sky nebulous phrase that they're doing something that no one else does. But at the end of the day, what do you do with it? Do you use it as a glorified search engine or, you know, what? So we took a little bit of a different tack. We created a system where we create GPTs or agents and Copilot. I subscribe to three different models.
Yeah.
And with ours, we have one that is a latest one. It's called a multi-line selling hunter. And so what it does is I've built the prompts inside of it to have our line card in there. And then I've told it to do certain things. And I can type in a company name, or I can tell me, well, let's start with the company name. I can type in a company name. It will return within moments the summary of the company, their address, phone number, non-800 phone numbers, because I don't really want the 800 phone numbers. I want the local phone numbers.
Yeah.
And then it will go through and give me a list line by line of what products that line may have a fit there by scrubbing what's on the internet.
Yeah.
And then it will give me a probability rating of high, medium, low, or not at all.
Yeah.
Now, from there, here's where it gets really fun. It will return a list of engineering and purchasing contacts.
Yeah.
And specifically, I've coded it for certain types of engineers, mechanical engineers. I don't care about software engineers. Sorry to the software engineers that may be out listening, but I want the people that are involved with hardware.
Yeah.
And example, MPI engineers, and then buyers, the same thing.
Yeah.
MPI buyers. So I have a very laser focus, and it produces this very nice, pretty printout that I can take and our team can use to go and hunt.
Yeah.
And we have very specific actions they can do. I can take it. And from there, we have created what we call a product guide. And our product guide is basically a 12-page booklet, 8.5 by 11. It's filled with pretty pictures about every one of our lines.
Yeah.
And I can have that printed in a customer's hands for about $3. I can't make a phone call for $3.
No.
So that's the first piece of marketing information they get from us.
Yeah.
Now, a couple days later, we'll reach out to them. And a lot of times we have engineers say, well, you Spectron, I've heard of you somewhere. And we're thinking, well, yeah, we've been sending you this for, you know, 6 months on and off, and you have it sitting on your desk.
Yeah.
And so that helps bring the barriers down. And then another phase of it is we use it where we create 4-page mini guides that are very product specific or market specific for our principals.
Yeah.
We do it all internally. I can have them printed and mailed for, again, under $3. And I can keep dropping these little pebbles of marketing in the water directly to a specific person. I've never had a company or person call and say, don't send me these.
Yeah.
Because they're really nicely done. They're four full color, 4 pages.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of product detail. We use it for training too, where we can put white papers in there. So we've taken a little bit of a different approach, just and that's one example of how we're using AI. And go ahead.
No. I just wanted to say that I really like it, because if I'm looking at myself and I do get cold calls, right, where somebody will call and you're like, okay, who are you, right? What do you want, right? And it's out of the blue, right? And it's just, it's interrupting sometimes when you're like, what? And then you're like, why did I answer, right? So I think it's really clever what you're doing. It's like dripping, right? It's putting in something they will open up when they have the time. So now your name, right, and the companies you have on your line card, right, will start they'll start remembering, or they will see that image, because again, an image is just so many more. It's more than 1,000 words, right? Isn't that what you're saying? So it's really, really clever how it's like a drip campaign you're doing, but what
it is
the target on it. So I really love it. So do you email or do you call them? How do you get to, you know, from what you have mailed over a certain time?
Well, it's interesting because probably the most notable one is on the back page, we have a picture of our company mascot, my business partner, and his wife. They're into Pomeranians. So we have a picture of the latest Pomeranian on the back.
Yeah.
And my partner, Brian, got a phone call a few years ago from director of MPI engineering at a very large engineering firm in San Diego. They have a huge campus. They're used in every cell phone in the world. You can figure it out.
Yeah.
And the engineering manager said, I'd like to talk to Brutus. And Brutus happened to be the name of their Pomeranian at the time. And my business partner said, he's in his morning nap. I hate to wake him.
Yeah.
And the engineering director said, I got it. I'm being pranked by one of my engineers. And then from there, the walls went down. They had an incredible conversation. We wound up shipping him a bunch of samples.
Yeah.
But those kind of things are not uncommon with us, because this is such an uncommon tool to use.
Yeah.
And we do print them. We use a special company that specializes in these. I can print as few as 25 very cost effectively. So if I have a factory that has a really kind of niche product, but it has potential for high dollars, I can do a special run on those, target those customers using our AI contact hunters. I also have a contact hunter where I can type in, find me 25 robotic companies in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And it will do the same thing. And it gives me a complete summary, a list, why there's a fit, and who the key contacts are. So from there, we like to do a mailing piece first because nobody does it.
Yeah.
And these are done really nicely.
Yeah.
And then from there, we have soft copies available. We also tie it into Constant Contact, where we'll do Constant Contact mailings. So it's a combination of both.
Yeah.
And then the other part is when we do get in front of a customer, it's a great lead behind piece.
Yeah.
I have literally dozens of them for principals and different product lines. So I can cater it to what a customer really wants. And then using the AI tools, we've already identified what would be a good fit.
Yeah.
So I don't have to sit down in front of the guy who right now it's hard to get in front of people, whether it's an engineer. And I don't have to say, well, do you use LEDs or do you use switches?
Right.
And then, you know, they're like going,
yeah.
Oh my God,
God, he didn't
get me out of here. So we take it's an old school approach with a new school twist.
Yeah, no, and it's really, it's again, I wanted to use the word clever because I don't think many companies are doing it. And you also, it's not like a mass market, right? It's not like you're using the same. You actually you spend that time together with AI, right? And your tool, your process. But
it's very highly curated.
Yeah, yeah.
So that we're not putting flyers under windshield wipers.
No, yeah.
In a grocery store parking lot.
Yeah, no. Will you still do that? But you will, yeah.
Yeah. People do. Now, we don't,
yeah, people do. I'm pausing the show because I want to make sure that you follow the show or subscribe or you've joined me on YouTube or maybe just check out the website. So search for Leadership Manufacturing. This is no fluff. This is inside inspiration that you need to grow, lead, and make an impact as a leader. So see you online. Back to the show. No, but so I think you're like, you found like a sweet spot, right? On how to go there and get that attention and get that moment where somebody's looking at, you know, that flyer and then everything else that's following. And it's, I think as well, because there's long cycles, right? Sales cycles in the industry. And that's been there for a long time because that's what it takes to make product development. So you need to also have that drip, right? So because maybe they're not ready for you today, maybe they're not ready for you tomorrow, but maybe they're ready for you in 2 months. So by doing this as well, right, you're getting that, they're getting that reminder, you're helping them, but still to get that in, and then you can build that relationship. So how do you stay on top of your relationships?
So we spent a lot of time trying to figure out what the best solution is, probably more time than we should have. We have a existing database built off of an old Mac product called FileMaker Pro, and it has about 7,000 OEMs from Southern California that have the ability to buy electronic components. That's the good news. Bad news is it doesn't run on current Windows. It has to run on an old machine.
Uh-oh.
And so we looked at all the solutions out there and we settled on Salesforce.
Yeah.
And for Salesforce, it does a great job of tracking MBOs. It also has a lot of features under the hood that we can tweak. We don't have to go to a software provider to import everything in, write them a check. And then every time we want a report done that's special, write them another check. We can do all within Salesforce.
Yeah.
So from that, I have reports that are to-do reports or task reports. Salesforce allows you to put a task in there with a date, and I can generate a report. It will also send reminders out to us to say, hey, follow up. It's been 2 weeks. Follow up on this.
Yeah.
And then we can generate reports. We can talk about it. But it also gives us a really cool tool where because of this and because it's all logged in there, I can send my principals an activity report every month that tells them who I've talked to in the territory on their behalf, what I talked to them about, and it answers their boss's questions of, what are your reps doing for you today? The age-old question of, director of sales to the regional manager. So we use it to track a lot of that. And Salesforce is just a great tool for that.
Yeah. It's just smart, right? Because you combine it and you save time, right? But it takes time to build the flow, the process, getting the tools to speak to each other. There's a lot of work, right? And also with that database you had with all the emails, you have to be sure that it was the right emails, right? Before you start importing it, I'm sure, into Salesforce. So there's a lot of footwork before everything runs like smooth, right? Because you're just like, I do this, I do that, right? So I think, no, but kudos to you, you know, for creating all that work. But you're seeing, you know, the fruit right now of it.
It does take a little bit of being thoughtful in terms of how you deploy it. And that brings in the other aspect of the AI solutions that we've created, and we create them all in-house. I do all the AI prompt engineering myself. It's not difficult, but the way that I've got it set up, and I've started to use Copilot because Copilot is part of Microsoft and Microsoft owns LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So now I can start to scrub LinkedIn contacts that are public, and then it will also go out to third-party sources to verify those contacts. And it'll tell me if a contact is verified or not, or I can flag it. I only want verified contacts. I don't want contacts that are not verified.
Yeah.
So that gives me that extra degree of when I push the button out to send that email, I don't have to keep my fingers crossed like,
yeah,
don't come back, don't come back, don't come back.
Open it.
Yeah, don't bounce. So it is a great tool for that, but deploying it was a bit of a process. And, we're not a large company. So at first I started kind of playing with this on the weekends and then I got hooked on it. And now it's second nature to me so that I can build a prompt very quickly. And it's a great tool for validating the contacts and integrating with our old database. We use it more as a reference source.
Yeah.
But it also has a lot of value because it is what tracks our sales history with accounts too. So it's a process that you just kind of have to have a little bit of a vision and be technically aware of where you want to go because you can go down rabbit holes real quickly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we all been there. So when do you decide, you know, that a physical touch, right? You have to see them, right? Makes sense or versus just staying fully digital.
For us, we want to be involved with our customer face to face as much as we can. And a lot of our tools are built to, I would say, make them aware of who we are. So when I call up and say, hi, I'm Tom from Spectron, they are not saying who's Spectron. And I get more answers of, oh, I've heard of you before.
Yeah.
And it helps bring that barrier wall down a little bit from the marketing side so that I can get in front of the customer. And once I get in front of them, and I always ask, can you take me on a tour? And I'm immediately clicking things off in my head of what I want to talk to them about.
Yeah.
And then from there, we just do a better job than I think of anyone else of latching onto that customer, becoming their best friend by meeting and exceeding their needs. If they need samples, we push to get them there as soon as possible. We don't ever mail them. They're hand delivered. You sit down with them, walk through the sample. Does this look like it's going to fit? Is there something you'd like to have done with it? We represent a lot of lines that are products where factories will do value add to it. So we like to do a lot of value add and take that process off the local company and put it on the factory. It's more dollars, which is good for us, good for the factory. So we try and spend as much time as possible in front of a customer.
Yeah. And then log in next meeting, right?
That's yes. And then we continue our marketing with them. So in our system, we can flag a customer to have a piece sent to them in the mail, different pieces at a regular cadence. So it could be 2 weeks, could be whatever we want. So there's this drip, drip, drip marketing that goes on at a local level that factories, they can't do that.
No.
And we can, and we're right here and I can get my car and with more customers than not, Once they get to know us and start to work with us, we pretty much can come by anytime and they'll let us see them.
Yeah.
So it's a very cool program that's kind of organically grown into something that I don't see any other reps really doing.
Yeah. They should start doing what you're doing. But there's an investment in this, right? Because it's paid AI, yes, right? And you have your data sources that you have. So it's also, is it worth it? It sounds like it's worth it. But for somebody else, right? Or if there's a bigger organization of a rep company and it's like somebody standing there and saying, what is the return, right? What, how do you get through that? Because you, I'm sure that's a lot of investment up front.
So interesting question. I looked this up before our conversation, and in the small service business, under 250 employees, about 9% of the companies in the U.S. actually are using AI tools of one way or another, which is kind of staggering. In the enterprise world, people are figuring out, how do we use it? And I think that flows down to a lot of different companies. So for the return on the investment is one of those things where you look at it, and we kind of grew into AI where it was this cool thing in the cloud that everybody talked about. And if you said, yeah, we're using AI, factories were like, oh, that's awesome. These guys are the guys.
Sorry, yeah. And if you went to like a trade show, right? And a little bit now still, it's AI all over. And you're like, oh, come on.
There's a box sitting on a table. Okay. It's not plugged in. Show me the AI. And so there is definitely an investment, and an investment of time and money. I subscribe to three different LLMs.
Yeah.
And for me, the return on investment is pretty huge, because first off, I can do things that factories don't have the resources to do.
Yeah.
And the ones that do have marketing departments that are larger, they're focused on a different mindset than me. They're looking at collaterals. They're looking at advertisements. They're looking at trade shows. They may be looking at swag, whatever that is. I'm looking at, how do I go out, hunt down a company, find the contacts, get my products in there, and earn a commission back on it. So from a return on investment, I can go out and subscribe to something like Zoom Info, which is really expensive.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a tool where you type, you get a list of companies. And the good news is, holy cow, there's a lot of companies here. And then you're like going, oh, no, there's a lot of contacts here. Where do I begin?
Yeah.
Where this, these tools are filters. And my return on investment on my time, I can be very efficient where if I get in the mode, I can send out very laser beam focused marketing pieces to companies in a very efficient way. I could send out 100 a day if I wanted and be very efficient.
Yeah.
And to have pay an outside company or for a factory to do that, their cost to do that is huge compared to mine.
Yeah.
So my return on investment is very huge, multiples over multiples over the cost of doing it. And these LLMs are so fast, and you can create your own agents or your own GPTs so that once I put the time in to create it, it's done. And then my team uses it. So they're very efficient in using it too, to go out and hunt for new customers. Because at the end of the day, we all in the rep business, we promise to maintain and grow your key accounts and go out and find you new customers.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when Kickstarter was around, that was, and it's still around, but that was kind of easier. You could find all these new startups.
Yeah.
But now for real results, you want to be working with real companies that have real projects that are going to be looking for real solutions. So,
and that will give you that order, but, right? Later on.
Yeah. Yeah. Ideally, you'll get an order out of them.
Yeah.
Kind of long-winded, but for us, it's a huge payoff.
It's fun.
Another part of it is factories that we represent love the fact that we can do this stuff and we're doing it for them at no cost.
Yeah.
So for us to be taking that proactive marketing effort and being that efficient, not to take anything away from their marketing groups, but for us, it's a big proactive push. We call it back selling.
Yeah.
So
you're stepping up and owning it, right?
Yeah.
And then you connect and then you magnify it out more than in one place. So that's, I think that's what it is. Because a few years ago, I think the manufacturing, right? Or the principal was sitting, you know, looking, you know, what is the rep doing, right?
Yes.
And if you, and then if the, that manufacturer shared some, right? And you also said, right, they have like one level of what they're looking at and producing and putting out as a brand and products and all that. But then the rep could sit there and saying, yeah, but I need this angle, right? Or I need this way. So what you've done there as well is I think is like stepping up and saying, yeah, I own it. And by owning it, you can also shape it and form it and saying, this is my direction of going with everything.
You're exactly right. The ability for us to take it and owning it is a good way to describe it.
Yeah.
We like to really leverage it to the way that's going to be best for us to find new customers and to be able to market products and push products out, because the way of doing business 5 years ago is just, you just can't. And a manufacturer's rep business is kind of a declining business, I think. There's not as many of us as around when I got started. So those of us that are, we need to be really good at what we do. And this just makes us better.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like refresh yourself, right? And saying this is
constantly.
what a rep looks like right now. So what about the rest of the whole everybody else that's like reps, right? They need to speed up, right? But because if they don't, I think like they will turn into like a dinosaur with a fax machine. So
well, we still have a fax machine in our office. Oh, no one ever uses it, but I sit on the board of directors for the ERA Southern California, and we have taken the initiative to really start implementing some training to help integrate our rep members into some new ideas. We have a certified Microsoft trainer that comes in and does a monthly talk about what's new in Outlook, but also she goes under the hood with some of the AI stuff, and she's really focusing in on Copilot. So they're it's a great tool for rep companies to get involved with, at least here in Southern California, so that they can learn how to do it and learn that there's other tools available to them, even to the point where you can use it to help redraft your emails in Outlook. And maybe word it a little bit differently. So I think it's just a natural progression where companies, whether it's a rep company or any small service business, are going to get into it and start to see that this is something that is an essential tool as we move into the future. I don't think AI is going to take over the world, but I think the people who are leveraging AI and using it are going to be this much higher than other companies that are maybe lagging behind.
Yeah, they're not leaning into it. I also think at a certain point, right, it was like the AI, right? It was like a calculator. And I don't think that's how you should look at it anymore. No, because you can, right? It's not like you're saying, just do this, right? But if you're saying, okay, write this, right? But follow this style, right? If it's just the, if it's an email, right? So you get your own language and no M dashes. But then you've started, right, to do one level, but you can take it further up like you'd have, right, as well, and saying, okay, now let's group it. Let's make an agent, right? Makes like a local ChatGPT, right? So there's different levels where you, when you start that and crawl that ladder, I think of if it maybe it's complexity or the matrix, right, of the AI, it can take you so much further. So don't just look at it as a calculator. I think what you were just sharing here, right, is a great example of how using all the tools, levering in, right, and also spending some of your time of the weekend to learn how to how to build it out. But it's there's so much more into it, and you're certainly right on. Don't sit. You have to lean in and be part of it. Today's conversation highlight how much the manufacturing's rep role has changed. Access is harder, expectations are higher, and the reps who are adapting are doing it by working smarter and not louder. And Tom shared how he's using data and AI and much more intentional workflows to identify the right accounts, find the right contact, and support the principals in ways that actually save time and build trust. I think trust is so important here. So if you work in manufacturing distribution or in the manufacturing's rep community, make sure that you catch the next episode because this was just part one. So thanks for listening to Leadership Manufacturing. See you in part two.